All right, welcome back to the podcast. My name is Doug, and I'm a grateful believer in Jesus, and I'm a recovering sex addict. And this is episode 51, and Happy New Year to those of you that are listening in real time. It is 2018, and just a very Happy New Year to everybody listening. If you're not listening in real time, I hope that 2018 is going well, or did go well, depending on when you're listening to this. I just appreciate everybody, you know, hanging in. I know there's been several months between our last podcast, and just because of a lot of things I have going on personally with my daughter, and I just appreciate all those prayers that everybody has been praying and reaching out, and thank you so much for that. I'm very glad to report she's doing much better. In fact, scans are clear, and she is kind of going back to normal routines and normal life and figuring out what life is to live in remission. And so we're just so grateful and blessed as a family. And, you know, it's just so wonderful to see. At the same time, I think there's some elements of survivor's guilt in there. And I feel that I have a heavy heart for those that are praying the same prayers and going through the same exact motions that I went through and going to see the same doctors that I saw and they're not seeing the results that I saw. And so my heart is heavy for them. And I know it's not because God's not the same God, or God doesn't love me or my daughter more than them. God's good all the time, and all the time God is good. But it makes me fight this urge to believe that, you know, she's healed because I did something right, or we did something right, or prayed the right prayer, or had enough people praying. That's not how God works. He's not good because he healed her. He didn't need that qualification to be good. He healed her because he's a good God and a loving God. But he would still be that same loving God, even if he chose to not. And so I really am struggling with that and just want to be honest on the front end about that. But just thank you for the prayers. And for us and for our home, it is such a blessing right now to be able to see her getting stronger and doing things that a normal teenager would do again. So just wanted to say that on the front end. And then hopefully this will mean a little more consistency on the podcast. And I definitely have some guys that are helping out with audio production and some of those aspects. So thank you for stepping up, guys, and helping with that. So I think we'll be able to get back to a more regular routine of doing these. So over these last few months of not podcasting, I've been watching, I've been listening, I've just been doing some different observations of life. And I always think, oh, that'd be a good podcast topic, or, oh, that'd be a neat way to talk about this or that. And so I think, you know, today I had a couple that came up that I thought would be for a good podcast, or at least for me, as good as I can do a podcast. But one of them is several months ago, my son, for his birthday, he got a hoverboard. But a funny story of that is off the side and really doesn't pertain to recovery, so to speak. But we gave him three or four little gifts kind of leading up to the hoverboard. And he was really looking forward to the last gift because the first three were really small gifts. So he knew something was still coming. But inside was just like four or five post-it notes that I hand scribbled on there, like, you know, your gift coupons in there. And so he was trying to act happy while flipping through these handmade post-it note coupons, like one free Redbox rental or a, you know, a free Sonic shake, and trying to be excited that this is his last gift. And so it was just really funny to watch his expression of, how do I act happy when this is really the worst thing I've ever experienced? And then the very last one was, there's another gift in the garage for you. And that's where he got the hoverboard. So all that to say is my son has this hoverboard. He hops on it, zips around like the thing's the coolest thing ever, just like up and down. I mean, some of your kids probably have one, or you've seen kids on them. They make it look easy. So I thought, well, I'm going to get on there and try that. So I get on it. It just doesn't move. It doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't do anything. And so I'm really challenged by that. And I just want to keep working at it. I want to make it do something. Now, you know, I might fall off or I might not go anywhere, but it's just not doing what it does when all the kids are on it. So my son finally says, Dad, you just have to think about where you want to go and you'll go there. And I laughed and I was like, yeah, that's simple. That's not it. Like, I've just got to get my feet to bend the right way and I've got to just lean forward just enough. And, you know, I just kept failing at it. I kept not being able to do it. And he was like, Dad, just think about where you want to go. And so finally I was like, okay, fine. And so I literally just thought, okay, I want to go forward just a little bit. And I did. And pretty soon I was like, okay, I want to dodge that dog toy that's on the ground, or I want to go around this corner, or I want to go faster. And I would. I just had to think about it and my body would respond. My muscles did their part because my brain was telling it what to do. I didn't have to make my muscles do that. Our brains are so similar with so many things. Our brain is a sufficient muscle and it just wants us to succeed. It wants us to be safe. It wants to protect us and it wants us to be happy. We just need to think about what we truly want and our bodies and some of the situations that we can control will respond to that. In my addiction, my brain wanted a drug. And there was oftentimes that situations happened just because that's what I was thinking about. In recovery, I can see how what I think about just has a greater chance of happening. So I think about relationships. If I think about all the ways that you disappoint me and you never make me happy and you don't understand me, then I'm going to begin to resent you because you're not going to ever understand me. You're not going to live up to that. So if I want to think of you in terms of resentment, then I'm always going to keep you in that box. You have no way to get out of that. And so for how many years did I do that to my own wife? Maybe my own kids too. I just assumed that she wouldn't get me. And so I never gave her the chance to get me. I just assumed that she would let me down. And so that would feed my addiction when my brain was almost just making this self-fulfilling prophecy out of it. And it's a concept that works. And it's a concept that can be powerful in recovery. It's not just a negative thing. It's not just if we beat ourselves up mentally, then we feel less about ourselves or we act less about ourselves. And those things are true. But there's a way to use it in positive elements too in recovery. So if I want to adore my wife or my kids or my job, then I need to think about them like they're blessings. I mean, I know we just watched It's a Wonderful Life because it's Christmas time, but it's not really just a movie that's just for Christmas. That's a mindset we need all year long. We can all take moments to see how blessed our lives truly are. You know, his daughter in the movie is playing the piano, and that was an irritant to him and an annoyance, and later it became like one of the most precious things he could hear. It's just about framing and our response to it. Our brain is just trying to put it in that box for us. It's trying to say, well, where do you want me to put this? Do you want to be annoyed with it or do you want to be happy with it? It's the same situation. Our brain is trying to be very efficient with that. So joy and contentment, I think, are just found in how we see things. If we want to be contentment and we look for contentment and joy, I think we'll experience it more. Instead of not seeing what we don't have or not seeing where things fall short. So we don't allow our brain to focus on those things. So in a lot of ways, our lives can be kind of like that hoverboard. We just think about where we want to go and we just kind of go there. We can't fully explain why. I think we need to. Our brains can't be fully explained. And our bodies are complex and they're made by this great creator that we'll never fully understand. So we just need to tap into the power of that. And know that what we focus on, what we meditate on, where our heart is, there we'll find the treasure that we're looking for. And the Bible speaks to that in so many different ways. But I really think that's just a powerful concept from that hoverboard to my recovery. That what I think about my spiritual life, do I think about the way that I treat others, do I think about the way that I want to honor my wife or my kids or myself? And if I do that, then in recovery, those steps become more automatic and they just seem to start to fall into place and start to happen. All right, another story that came to mind is, all right, so I'm 41 and I just recently got glasses. I went to the eye doctor after my family had said for years that I need glasses. So I finally gave in and I went in there. And I didn't really know I needed glasses until I started wearing them or until I put them on. And then all of a sudden it was like, this is what the rest of the world sees? I literally called my family into my closet where I have like speckled carpet on the ground. I was like, guys, y'all see these dots of color in the carpet? And they're like, yeah, we do. Before I just saw kind of blended color on the carpet. I didn't see dots of specified colors. When I saw shapes or fonts or different things, I could recognize it. I knew what it was. But it wasn't crystal clear. So now if I had to take off my glasses, I can see how blurry my life really was, or how blurry my sight really was. And I do think our life can be like that. It's kind of like that story of the frog getting boiled in the pot, right? It happens slowly and we don't notice. My eyesight was slowly deteriorating until, you know, at 41, I finally decided to get some glasses. So I have so many shameful acts in my past, and I have to realize that they happened over time. Like, you get that wake-up call where, you know, God really wakes us up by the circumstances that happened in our life. And we say, how in the world did we get here? How did I turn into this person that was doing these shameful acts in shameful places and doing so many things that I can't believe I got there? And it happens slowly over time. It's the same way that my eyesight gave out. It was a little bit at a time. And Satan just has a crazy way of doing that, getting us to move that line just a little bit over, just a smidge every day to do just a little bit more, that we don't notice that slippery slope that we're headed down. And so I started to think that, you know, meditation, prayer, having accountability with other guys, those are like glasses to me that helps me see clearly what otherwise would be really blurry on my own. You know, I thought I could see fine, but I couldn't. The same thing in my addiction. I thought I was okay. I was doing the best I could. Nobody could do better. This is just the way that the cards were dealt. But I needed others. I needed to put on those glasses and see there really is another way. It's not easy, but there is another way. I think our recovery tools are like glasses too. We need them. We need those people that hold us accountable. We need to be ready in public places to keep our eyes where they need to be. We need to have internet filters that protect where we're searching and where we're going. We need to design all these steps that just keep our sobriety accruing by days and by weeks and by months. We just can't leave home without them. Things just frankly get blurry without them. These tools are our glasses. Without them, we don't see danger in the same way. But there's a flip side to that. I think without our glasses, we don't see beauty in the same way either. I used to see recovery tools as helping me not fall into evil or not fall into traps or dangerous patterns. And that's true. But really, those tools are helping me enjoy the life that God created for me to have and the life that God created for me to enjoy. They help me see beauty of creation. They help me see the beauty of appropriate relationships and so many wonderful things. Tools aren't just keeping me away from evil. They're helping me see the beauty. And I think that was an amazing revelation that just simply came from me getting glasses and seeing that now I can truly get back to seeing what's around me in crystal clear definition, the way that God intended for it to be. So with this short podcast, I just hope it does a couple things for you. Number one, I want to encourage you to wear your glasses. If you have recovery tools, put them in place. If you don't have them, find some that work for you. There's lots of resources out there. Castamonia.org has some. You can email us at puritypodcast@castamonia.org and we'll help you find them. But wear those recovery glasses so you can see clearly. I want you to see the dangers that are in front of you, but I also want you to enjoy life to the fullest and be an example to others about how contentment and joy and happiness can come from having tools in place that align you with the life that you want to live. And I also just want to remind you to ride that emotional hoverboard, I guess, to get on that thing and think about where you want to be. And you'll go there. Think about the life you truly want, and that's where you'll head. You know, a lot of people choose a life of destruction, or they choose, you know, a life of sin or a life of bad decisions, and that's their choice. They're thinking about where they want to go, and that's where they're going. But you have that choice now of what you want to think about. Yes, you can choose that side. There's no one stopping you, and that is definitely an option that God's free will has given us to do. But I'd ask you to think about if that's truly what your heart wants. Or are you just taking the easy way out? If there's something that you truly want, put your mind's eye on it. And I think every day your body will take steps towards that. Your heart will take steps towards that. And you'll see that obstacles will just go away. That we become more efficient in doing that. So with that, I just leave that with you. And if you need more help. Again, reach out to us at puritypodcast@castamonia.org. If you have topics or suggestions, please reach out. I have plenty of topics that will be coming up, but I would love to record some testimonials and love to record some interviews with you guys as well. So feel free to email us and get on that list as well. And just remember, you know, that shame that you carry, it comes from our brains, but we can control that. And I say it comes from our brains. I heard this quote that says that our brains, they try to take the past and apply it to the present to predict the future. So again, our brains try to take the past, apply it to the present, what's going on right now, to predict what's coming down the road. And that's sort of where shame comes from, is our brain saying, hey, we looked in the past, so that's who you were, that's who you are now, and that's who you're going to be forever. But God said, no, that's not who you are. That the past is the past, and the present is a new time that can create a new future. So don't let your brain's efficiency tell you who you're going to be. Put your mind's eye on that. Ride that emotional hoverboard and tell yourself, that's not where I'm going. I'm going to go to this place instead. And you will. And that shame and regret and some of those other heavy emotions that bog you down, they'll fall away. And so I pray for you guys that are listening to this podcast that you're able to do that, that you're able to put your mind on what you truly want and allow that shame to fall away. And remember, this is not an easy road. There is nothing about this journey that's easy. There's obstacles along the way. It's uphill, but you're not alone. You're walking this journey with other brothers, other sisters that have gone through this, that have made it to the other side. And I just ask that you continue to take it step by step and just constantly remind yourself that you are not walking alone.